Sarah Wolfson-Kito with a REIT Report. Do you know the best strategies for decarbonizing the built environment? Are you interested in learning more about using AI in the workplace? Do you know how to effectively align your DEI targets with your business goals? Learn the answers to these questions and much more at NAREIT's REITWORK Sustainability Conference, taking place June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. Join professionals in sustainability, CSR, communications, DEI, finance, and more for 2 days of educational sessions, roundtables, and meaningful networking. Register by May 24th to get the early bird rate and save on your registration. Visit go.reit.com/REITWORKSREITReport to register. That's go.reit.com/REITWORKSREITReport. Now onto the podcast.
What's most important is that what we've done confirms that it can be done, and that when you are looking to start something, then you realize that starting is, in fact, you know, the hardest step, if you will.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Kito. It's a pleasure to be speaking today with Adjoa B. Asamoah, a champion of racial equity and an award-winning social impact strategist. She is also co-creator of the Crown Coalition, a national alliance to end race-based hair discrimination in the United States, and the force behind the Crown Act legislation. Adjoa, really pleased to be speaking with you today.
Thank you so much for having me, not only here, but I also just need to acknowledge Steve and Kathy and Eris and Afia and the entire NAREIT team for having me speak at the conference in Phoenix. I had a blast, and it's an honor and a pleasure. Now I consider myself at least part of the extended family for NAREIT. So thank you for having me today.
Oh, it was definitely our pleasure. So let's start, if you would, by looking at the Crown Act and really sort of describing how it was groundbreaking in so many ways.
Well, groundbreaking is right. It is the first of its kind, at least in terms of scale and scope. It truly is a blueprint for championing change outside of legislative bodies. This movement was not birthed by any lawmaker. Instead, lawmakers were chosen and agreed to lead this, at least in the beginning. Now we see lawmakers who are raising their hand and just stepping up to the plate. But in terms of really building the movement, my team and I really created something externally and then brought it to the lawmakers, which we don't always see. It's more of a national public policy campaign, but it's really a movement in that we are focused on both championing change where policy is concerned, but also changing culture around natural hair and protective styles. Sometimes lawmakers introduce bills and people never know about them. But in this case, we created the model and then brought it to them. So for me, as someone, as you said in the intro, lifelong racial equity champion who's been doing this kind of work my entire life. And so as someone who truly values civic engagement, I think it's really important for us to, as a collective, think about civic engagement outside of voting. Voting is one tool, one critically important tool, but nonetheless one tool where creating the society we want to see is concerned. But truly getting involved in our public policy process is something that, to me, is equally critically important. So yes, it is groundbreaking on so many fronts and really shows that people can have a role in, again, creating that society that they want to live in.
So how do you think that effort can serve as a blueprint for others who are looking to champion gender or racial equity initiatives?
I think it confirms that it can be done. Once you go through sort of my steps, and usually this is a masterclass, so I'm only sharing this with you and now my extended NAREIT family. You know, you go through steps when you're looking to create change. I am an applied behavior analyst by training, so this is just the way my brain works. You go from problem identification, you know, so what is the issue that you are trying to solve? And then you conduct your research, you look at what's been done, if anything, and you do an in-depth analysis of what's been done or again, not. You explore sort of how the issue is currently framed in the public discourse. You develop a solution. You determine what that looks like. And then you build coalition. So again, those are just some of the steps that someone will want to take into account when you are looking to truly champion and change. And again, that's just a framework, if you will. But what's most important is that what we've done confirms that it can be done. And that when you are looking to start something, then you realize that starting is, in fact, you know, the hardest step, if you will.
Right. And that really leads into my next question, because sometimes the massive scope of a problem causes reluctance or hesitance to address an issue. So what do you say to people, companies, or even entire industries when they're just beginning to tackle some of these overarching social issues?
To do it. I know that sounds cliche, but it's real. Sometimes we'll see commitments made on the diversity, equity, and inclusion front, and folks will have, you know, lofty mission statements and visions that, you know, are focused around truly championing diversity, equity, and inclusion, but they don't commit to it. They don't commit the people power to actually achieve the goals, and then they don't commit the resources. And so for companies in particular, I think you have to actually make the commitment and it be more than just lip service. So we're not talking about just verbalizing your commitment to doing it, but your work environment, your climate and culture. People should know that you are committed to doing that, and you should build that inclusivity around championing the change. That is not something, and I talked about this when I was at the conference in Phoenix, you don't just think about change in the context of your C-suite. Leadership where championing change is concerned can't be thought of as something exclusively for the CEO or the president. It is truly everyone's job. And so change can start at any level. And again, when you're thinking about championing change, you know, within a complex organization, I just want to reiterate and underscore the need for all members of an organization or even an industry to really just realize that it is everybody's responsibility and not just the responsibility of those at the top.
And can you talk a little bit about the importance of coalition building when it comes to achieving substantive and sustainable progress within an industry?
Absolutely. Coalition building is invaluable. It is one of the things, you know, can really add force to your movement. There's a song, and I'm dating myself a little bit, but the song goes something to the effect of, you know, I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. And it speaks to the power of the collective. And so when building out the coalition with my co-creators, I went to friends who are leading organizations that I'd worked with wearing other hats. So I work at the intersection of policy and politics. I'd formed a number of relationships doing the work that I've done for so many decades. And so I was able to call on people, given my credibility in this space, to stand with me. I was literally building a plane and flying it at the same time. You know, folks say that, but we were literally doing exactly that. And so, again, coalition building is just truly invaluable. You have to think beyond, however, your own network. At least I did. So leveraging your network, definitely, but thinking about who else may care about this issue. So say, for example, you are, I don't know, your issue is around addressing cruelty to dogs. You know, you would obviously think about, and again, this is just an example, you'd obviously think about other dog lovers, but you might also think, you know, cat lovers, just because there may be some alignment that is not explicit to your particular issue, but, you know, there may be some commonality there. So for me, tapping those relationships that I have personally that I'd cultivated over the years was something that was a given for the Crown Coalition, the NAACP, and Legal Defense Fund, and National Action Network, and, you know, Doug Sigma Beta Sorority Incorporated, and so many others, because I belong to a number of organizations. Despite them being imperfect, I believe in the power of organization, and I work in a number of organizations. And so I think that tapping into those organizations are crucial. But again, just back to your point about the importance of coalition building, collective power is like no other. And so I truly encourage people to think about finding commonality with other people to strengthen your position when you are trying to champion change.
Great. And finally, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners in terms of other issues that you're watching at this time or where you expect to be spending most of your energy in the months and years ahead?
Well, I live an assignment-based life, and so I take on things as I see them, and I think I can add value and that I think are important to moving the needle, specifically for groups of people who have been historically and systemically marginalized. And so I leave space in my life for things that I don't already know about in terms of what the needs are in the movement. However, I will clearly see the Crown Act passed as federal legislation. I will see that through to fruition. The Crown Act is like my baby. It is something that I have nurtured since conceptualizing the idea to change the law back in 2018 and developing the legislative and social impact strategies for it and truly leading this work nationwide, not as a lobbyist, because I'm not one, but as an advocate and a strategist and a policy architect and so many other hats, or dare I say crowns, that I wear. So seeing the Crown Act through to fruition on the federal front in terms of passage is something that I will always do. However, there are other issues, again, that I care about. I care deeply about actualizing racial and gender equity. We move the needle, but we know that those things are only real when race or gender can no longer predict outcomes or how resources are allocated. And so I truly want to not just advance those causes, but to achieve them. But the thing that I would like to leave NAREIT members with is that when you are thinking about championing change for good, I sort of go back to the default ABC method. You always want to assess the problem and accept the challenge. And then, of course, be a leader and build coalition. Remember, C-suite title is not needed. And then really champion the change, own it, take ownership of it, and work collaboratively with others to build out that coalition. And then ultimately that enables you to change the trajectory. So don't be afraid by, you know, the magnitude of an issue. Think about doing so very strategically. The Crown Act movement is a masterclass, a blueprint, if you will, and being strategic. I just have to lift the name of one of my co-creators who really worked on the marketing strategy for this campaign. Her name is Orlina Wonka-Blanchard, and she is my partner in all things good. But as strategists, we sat down and sought to create a movement. So this didn't just fall out of the sky. This isn't something that was, you know, I know it always sounds better when it's organic, but we sat down and we actually thought about it and mapped it out. And after I said, you know, let's change the law, you know, and the team got on board because they were going to think about addressing race-based hair discrimination in the context of algorithmic bias and artificial intelligence. But I personally said the best approach is to change the law because that's my skill set and what I know how to do. And so again, just speaking to the power of coalition building, but working collaboratively with others, that's what the coalition sort of exemplifies, if you will. But again, for leaders, ABC, assess the problem, accept the challenge, be a leader, build the coalition, champion change, change the trajectory where your issue is concerned.
Adjua, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and sharing your insights.
Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate the opportunity.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.